Introducing Pride Cuppa by Pride Cup, the podcast, a special six-part series which delves into how we can manage our mental health and well-being with a focus on Australian sporting culture. Each week, your hosts James Lolicato and Cara Montaneri will be joined by sporting and health experts to share their experiences and knowledge to help you navigate these crazy times with pride. This series is proudly sponsored by Vic Health and Pride Cup Australia, and it all starts now.
Welcome back to our final episode in series one of the Pride Cuppa podcast. My name is Cara Montaneri and I'm joined by
James Lolicato, as always. And I can't believe it's already been six episodes. Six episodes, 6 weeks, six topics, six amazing guests. It's been so much fun.
It's been super, super fun and I've really enjoyed it and I feel like I'm now just going to have a career in podcasting.
Now, what do you think your favorite tips or hints from some of the people that we've spoken to have been?
Actually, I'm doing one now. Dr. Sandro, CEO of Vic Health, told us to always have a big glass of water on hand, and I have indeed a pint of water in front of me and I have been very mindful of that. What about yourself, James?
I think mine goes back to, because obviously I'm always kind of reading the latest research and wanting to know what's happening with the future of sport. Mine goes back to our talk with Dr. Ruth Jeans in week two, I think. We were talking about what the future of fandom looks like for our sporting clubs and communities and how we can get people to events without actually being there in person, which I'm really interested what the future could look like in that and doing some work on that now. But yeah, that's still a lot more to come there.
Absolutely. But for now, today's episode is because we are having some stunning, stunning COVID-free results down here in Victoria. And this episode is called It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like a COVID-Safe Summer. And
the jingle bells are back.
It's our holiday special. Woo-hoo!
It is our holiday special. So today we'll be talking about it, all things holidays. We'll be talking about our top tips for the holidays as well. What we've learned, Cara, you as a mum, me going to visit family every year and working on our health and well-being over that time. So making sure that Christmas isn't just about gluttony, it's about keeping ourselves in check and doing the things that we need to do to stay healthy in the holidays.
Absolutely. Wrapping up 2020, like we've sort of pulled apart a number of things across this podcast, different aspects of health and how our health has been impacted by COVID and some of the findings that Vic Health found when they did research at the end of the first lockdown here in Victoria. And yeah, I feel like we've certainly been able to find some positives in there as well. It hasn't all been doom and gloom for 2020, but I do know that many people are very excited that after knuckling down and doing the hard work here in Victoria, we are now opening up in time for this holiday season to a point where it's feeling pretty close to normal. And we're going to be able to spend these summer months doing all the things that we love.
I know, I'm about to hop in the car and head to Adelaide and see my family for the first time in an awful long time. So that's very exciting. And I'll get to spend the holiday season with them. What are you up to, Cara?
I've got a few different things on. On the day itself, we travel around to a couple of different houses. And so I'll be spending the majority of the day with my side of the family. Obviously, I'll be up at the crack of dawn, probably beforehand, with excited kids in the house, which is always super, super fun after Santa has been. Yeah, so it's really good. I'm really happy that we can get out and see our family and things on the day. It's going to be really great. Something that like is super fun that I often get into at this time of year is I do tend to do quite a bit of Christmas baking and I do like making sort of fancy drinks and things like that. I don't mind a theme. It's Halloween, there's, you know, themed cookies and things like that. I don't mind a theme around cooking and around being in the kitchen. So if that is something that I'm going to keep in mind this year, just at what we've looked at, some of the traps that all of us as a community have maybe perhaps fallen into a little bit over COVID with bad habits in terms of alcohol consumption, food consumption and things like that. So it's something that I'm going to try to carry with me into this season. But looking at that Vic Health study, if we do talk briefly about alcohol, because for many of us, this kind of season, it's all about getting together and, oh, let's get together and have drinks, or let's have a meal and have drinks, or,
let's have a Christmas party or a holiday party at the end of work.
Yeah, there's
let's
so
have
many,
drinks.
There's yeah. so many parties, and we throw around the term have drinks without really being particularly mindful of what that might mean in terms of the fact that even for someone who doesn't drink very often, suddenly you're at 2-3 events a week where you're being offered something alcoholic to drink.
Not to mention those who are at 2-3 a day on Christmas Day and they're driving from one to the other. Dr. Sandra DeMayo, the CEO of Vic Health, earlier in our series as well, talked about what's been happening with alcohol consumption over the first lockdown. We talked about how we're really hoping that that will diminish as we come out of lockdown and how that won't become the norm. Mm. But he talked about the two generations as well. So that younger generation, so between 16 and I think it was 26, who are really binge drinking over lockdown. And then the older generations who have that continuous drinking habit that they're seeing develop over lockdown as well. So not that binge, but that continuing consumption of alcohol.
And I think that's the problem. Like when we sort of think about problematic drinking, we do sort of tend to think about long-term heavy drinking, perhaps in older people maybe. But definitely there is a really significant risk of short-term harm. And so that short-term harm is where something sort of happens to you in the short term, like in a one event. So just looking at that figure, so that research out of Vic Health has that at 11%, like the risk is at about 11% of you coming to short-term harm after you've consumed 5 or more drinks. And for young people, that stat is actually higher. So there's a 17% risk that you'll come to some kind of harm in that short term. So that's just going to the pub and having 5 beers, or less actually, it's 5 standard drinks. But yeah, suddenly you're at a higher risk. So we wanted to sort of make sure that whilst we're talking about all of the amazing things that are coming out of this, where it's getting together with friends and getting together with family, and sure, absolutely, we're all happy to have like a glass of bubbles and or have an eggnog on Christmas Eve, whatever you do, if that's part of how you celebrate. But to be really mindful that it's very easy and quick to fall into harmful behaviours around alcohol, and just to try and minimise that across this period.
Yeah, and also to be hypervigilant, I think this year more than any other year, about how your family is, how your friends are doing, making sure that you're reaching out and touching base, asking, are you okay? And if you see that somebody is having a problem, or that there may be, we're talking about alcohol consumption, that maybe there's a continuous stream of alcohol consumption coming, or you're seeing something happen, it's always good to ask the question, are you okay? Yeah. Are you okay? How are you doing? And I know that we have a lot of support networks in Victoria to help out with that. I mean, by contacting Beyond Blue on 1300 22 4636, Lifeline on 13 11 14. For our LGBTI community, there's a lot of queer specific as well. If you just Google queer specific helpline services at the moment, or kids helpline for our younger generations on 1-800-55-1800-2. They're open all throughout Christmas and all throughout the holiday period. So if you ever need somebody to talk to, or you need a little bit of help about how to talk to somebody else, please feel free to give them a call. And they've all got online sites and chats to help out as well.
I think that's really important, James, because this time of the year can be very joyful. It can also be very difficult for many people, and particularly those people who may not be as connected into family or into community. So it is really important to think about how we're going to look after our mental health across this period of time. It may be completely different for a lot of people still due to some of, the impacts of COVID. So that's something that we really need to be mindful of. And we thought that we would build that into this episode.
So we do have Mark Camilleri joining us. Mark is a psychologist who works out of Queer Space in Melbourne, and he has joined me this week for our community interview to talk to us all about how we can take care of ourselves and each other through this upcoming holiday period. So sit back and have a listen. Hello, welcome Mark from Queer Space in Melbourne. How are you?
Hello, hi Cara. I'm going well. Thank you for having me here.
Such a pleasure to have you join us here at the Pride Cuppa community podcast segment thing that we're doing.
A bit of space.
Yeah, no, definitely. And this episode that we were hoping you would join us for is our holiday special. And So, we thought it would be wonderful to get someone down from Queer Space to have a chat, all things 2020 and all things holiday. And could you tell us a little bit about Queer Space before we start and the work that you do there?
Queer Space is an LGBTIQ plus support service. We do lots of individual work. We do groups. We run programs. We work from a child and family model. So we work in lots of wraparound. So as opposed to just like pathologizing the queer person, like, oh, there's a gay, trans young person. We need to do all the counseling for them. You know, we want to look at supporting the parents as well, which would be a really good idea. And then, oh, maybe, gee, the siblings might want to talk to someone. So we do lots of this sort of, you know, multimodal group, individual, family work. The focus on the LGBTIQ plus population. And my role is I'm a senior practitioner. I'm a psychologist, registered psychologist, and I work in the Queer Space team. And it's been going for like, you know, I don't know, 20 something years we've been supporting. Came out of gay men and lesbians having relationship, you know, couple counseling. And then of course we started having babies and then turned into supporting, you know, young people and particularly now lots of trans and gender diverse young people.
Amazing work that you do.
Yeah, there. It's great.
I love the stuff that you do at Queer Space. And I guess that you've probably had a busy year.
Very much so. Yes, there's been lots and lots of COVID stress. And, you know, probably, you know, particularly for LGBTIQ populations, one of the things that's different is if I'm a hetero cis person and I go to Bunnings, I can find my community. I'm like, oh, there's Rachel. She's the mum of goes to the where my son goes to school. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to find your other community. Mm-hmm. Whereas for LGBTIQ people, where it's, you know, that's going to be harder for us. And particularly with COVID, lots of the venues and lots of the queer spaces that we met that were taken away, you closed.
Yes.
So it was harder for us to connect with each other and harder for us to find each other. So it just took that little bit more of effort. So we saw lots of isolation, lots of people not having connection. And some of them might not have had connection to their families in the past, or their families weren't supportive of them. And then they were home all the time with their families.
Yeah.
And that could cause a lot of distress as well.
Yeah.
And so we did see also a bit of a rise in sort of some intimate partner and family violence in LGBTIQ populations, some of the queer people, just being policed a little bit more and not being free to express themselves in ways that they were prior to COVID.
Yeah. And look, that social isolation piece, and as you said, having people in their own homes not necessarily feeling as safe as others. That was the point, wasn't it? Like the whole point was to keep us safe at home. And it's a very difficult space to be in if that
it was sort of a trade-off, physical health versus mental health.
Yeah.
So you're physically safe from getting COVID because you weren't seeing anyone, but your mental health was deteriorating.
Absolutely. And look, it's been really good to see services and to see that understanding, you know, start to come out of it, you know, after that triage of, wow, this is what we need to do. And then it's that realization of, okay, now we need to do more for communities to get people through this.
And that's one of the great things about queer communities. You know, we're very innovative. You know, we've had to do that for a long time of how do we secretly find each other and how do we secretly make these communities when we've been told we're not allowed to have communities. So I think we're very innovative in lots of sort of ingenious ways of how to connect and how to create community under the COVID restrictions. So, yeah, that was really great to see the sort of wonderful strategies that people used.
We've had a couple of people on the show before who have dedicated themselves to entertainment, you know, putting together entertainment for the queer community or sporting activity, physical exercise from their own lounge rooms, podcasts, all those sorts of things. And, yeah, that's definitely a silver lining to pull out of that is to go, wow, look at how well the queer community, but Victorians as a whole, have managed to go, how do we connect? And that's been a really positive thing, I suppose.
And I think the move to telehealth has been really helpful and, you know, silver lining as well, that moving to not having to do face-to-face individual sessions on site to meeting each other in people's homes where they feel safe and secure, where they might not feel safe and secure having to come on site. So that's sort of been another sort of thing that's come out of COVID has been quite helpful for some people.
Absolutely. Now that we've moved back to this, you know, COVID normal summer type setup, what sort of work are you doing at Queer Space now to sort of help shift the community back into the sort of semi-normal setting?
Yeah. Well, I suppose one of the things that happened, as I said, a lot of our group work that we were doing individually, like our mentor programs, like Polaris and Place at the Table, became online groups. And then what we did is we started adding more. So there's like a queer Netflix group, and there's a queer trans young persons group, and there's parents. And so all those groups, so we made more groups, and now those groups will continue, and they'll operate in both ways, so operate online and in real life as well. So I think there's that extension and the diversifying of programs, the multiplication of programs. So we've got way more now than what we had, but they'll happen in multimodal ways, in both ways, in real life and online. So I think that's, you know, again, a good thing that's come out of it. Of course, we'll do the Queer Space Breakfast again. So the Queer Space Breakfast now is in its fourth year. So it just started out of, you know, hearing from our clients that a lot of them can't, you know, may not have been able to see their families because of their sexuality or gender.
Yes.
And they were feeling a bit isolated. So we're like, oh, let's just put a breakfast on in the park.
Amazing.
We thought maybe like 30 or 40 people would come. 80 people come the first year. 200 people come the second year. So we're doing that again.
Yes.
So again, it's through the Queer Space. And if you jump on Facebook, you can grab tickets completely free.
Amazing.
And then after that, Thorn Harbour Health and the Yvonne Gardner have the lunch. So they will have a lunch. Typically, it was for people who were HIV positive, but now it's for LGBTIQ people. So Drummond Street and Queer Space will do the breakfast. And then there's the Thorn Harbour Health, Yvonne Gardner lunch after that. So there are spaces for LGBTIQ people that maybe feel that they can't be with their families, or maybe they just feel when they want to be with their family of choice,
yep,
and they want to be with their queer families as well as their biological families. So those two events will continue to happen as well.
Now, just to clarify, Mark, they're on actually on the 25th on Christmas Day. Is that right?
Yeah, they're both on Christmas Day.
Amazing.
Yeah, perfect. It's great.
Perfect. Which is a good sort of segue into one of the things I wanted to ask you about. For a lot of people, it is great. It's an exciting time. We're out of the house. We can catch up with friends finally and do all of those things, which as we've been talking about, we'll talk about in this episode, that does pose a few problems in terms of perhaps overindulgence and risky behavior and things like that. What's your sort of perspective on how people can go about taking care of themselves when they're out celebrating?
I suppose one of the first things I'm hearing is this, that's right, there is a lot of pressure to have lots of joy and celebration at this time of year. And it's okay then also, particularly because we've been in lockdown for such a long time, is to go, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm going to need to go and sit in the study, or I'm going to go out and sit in the backyard for a while because I haven't been with lots of people. So I'm hearing there's lots of social anxiety as we're going back into big crowds. We're like, whoa, these crowds are overwhelming. I suppose my first message is it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, with this pressure to be, I have to be having a good time at Christmas, because we have come out of quite a difficult, for some people, year. So it's okay to go, I'm going to pace myself. I'm not going to go to everything. And even when I am out, I'm going to take also some time to have some quiet spaces as well. And then the second part is, yes, I do hear that, you know, it is quite excessive time of year in terms of calories and carbs, and also in terms of maybe substances as well. You know, there's a lot more celebration.
Yeah.
And as we're celebrating a lot more because we're finally able to be with each other, maybe our diets or our health and nutrition might go out. We might be drinking more, using more substances. And then because of that, we've got a lot of sugar, we're dehydrated, we're not sleeping as well. And then because we're not getting enough sleep, and because we're partying, you know, eating lots of sugar, so we're not eating, our nutrition will be decreasing. Mm. So we just need to, you know, maybe stop, take a breath. I suppose my rules for substances that I always like to think about is, historically, we use substances, you know, people drink.
Yep.
But I suppose it's the purpose of drinking. And why do we drink? Normally we drink to celebrate. We drink, you know, we have champagne at weddings, or when a baby's christened, or if there's a memorial for someone, or a wake, you know, we'll have some drinks then. So the context of drinking is really about building relationship.
Mm.
So if I'm drinking, if I'm using substances and it's building relationship, then that's a good context for substances to be used.
Yeah.
But if I'm using it to manage my stress, my anxiety, feeling bored, feeling lonely, it's not really building relationships. So I'd maybe want to go, look, what role is this substance playing in that? And are there other ways that I can manage my stress or feel connected to myself without using substances. Yeah. So they're probably a good question to ask. What role is this substance playing? Is it building relationship or is it breaking down relationship? And if it is breaking down relationship, then you might want to look at what role the substances are playing and how can I replace the role that substances are playing with something else that is not as damaging. Yeah, so they're just good questions to ask, because are we going to use, you know, are we going to drink more this time of year? Yes, we are. And, you know, do we use alcohol to celebrate with each other? Yes. And do we need to celebrate? Of course we do. But if I'm using it then in ways that are managing my mental health, then that's not the role of substance.
Yeah, and I think that all that you've said there has really combined, and you've touched on it, but this time of year isn't always a great one for everyone either, you know, and I think there is that pressure on everybody this year, as you said, oh, you celebrate, you've got to go. But for some people, every year, this is a difficult time of year, whether it's because they are perhaps away from family or estranged from family, or it brings up feelings, you know, of loss or grief, whatever. This is a very difficult time of year. And yeah. I think absolutely what you've just said then is a really good question. For anyone who is struggling in that way, where would you suggest that they might sort of reach out if they are feeling overwhelmed?
You know, most services will be running over the Christmas period. So Switchboard will be, you know, call the Switchboard and Cue Life. And they've just got a new program called, I think it's called Rainbow Door, which is a peer one that you can text in and a peer LGBTI person will text you back. Mm-hmm. Of course, as I said, Drummond Street will be running our quiz space breakfast, and then Thorn Harbour Health and even Gardner will be doing the lunch. We're back on board, like January the 1st, we're sort of back to work. And I know Thorn Harbour Health are, the Minor Quality Centre are, Switchboard will be running through the whole period. So I think, you know, there are sort of extra supports there. And I suppose one of the things, as you were talking, particularly for people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, for queer people of colour, who don't celebrate Christmas, is a Western Anglo type of celebration. So they might be feeling a bit more isolated at this particular time. And of course, there's a lot of religious, you know, it is a religious ceremony, a Christian one as well. So those people that either are not part of that faith or have left that faith because of their sexuality or gender, or people that are not part of it, they might also be feeling a little bit left out, a little bit isolated, like, oh, we don't understand these rituals and we don't practice them. So they might be feeling a little bit more extra isolated as well.
It's great to know that there are going to be a lot of services still running, and top of Beyond Blue and all of those sorts of services as well. Look, hopefully...
And Lifeline will keep on going.
Yeah. And Lifeline, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One thing that tends to be flooded into the market at this time of year is films to do with the holidays and Christmas. And so that's a bit of a shame if you are trying to avoid the whole concept. But on the note that this will be airing in our holiday episode, one of the lighter questions I wanted to ask you was, do you have a favorite, it could be cheesy or not, but do you have a favorite movie from this time of year?
I actually do. I religiously watch Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. Yep. And I love it because it's such a, it's bring up of Christmas. It's so dark and it's bizarre. And so, you know, the stop animation and the Oogie Boogie Man, and it's Jack Skellington. And so I love it because it's taking Christmas and it's seeing it from another lens, mm-hmm. from the lens of, you know, Halloween. So I see that as a Christmas movie and I love it. I watch it every year. I watch it and sing along to the songs and get stuck into my head. But that's okay.
That has been an absolute staple in my house with my kids. So I'm the same. I love it. I really love it.
I like all the little doors to the other lands as well. I want to go to all those lands as well.
It's super, like the imagination and the creativity is extraordinary.
Yes, very creative.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate all of your insights and your advice that you've brought to the table for us. And I'm sure it's been really helpful for anyone listening out there in podcast land. And continue the great work that you're doing at Queer Space. I'm sure I will see you around as our paths cross again. And it's been a real pleasure to have you. So if you've got anything, any last words, feel free to shout them out.
You know, you can always jump on the Drummond Street website that has all our media releases of what's going on and our support services. You can even start the intake process there online and then they'll get back to you as soon as they're back on board. But thank you also, Cara, for having me on, and it's been really joy. Have a great Christmas.
You too. What an incredible resource Mark is, and an absolute gem to have working out of queer space. And so please, as he said, for anyone who does need to reach out, please do look up some of those events on the Queer Space webpage, or go to their Facebook page, or have a look up of any of those other resources that he did mention if you feel the need to reach out across this period for some extra support.
That was all really interesting to hear, and really good to hear those tactics and those key ways that we can help ourselves, help our communities, help our families over the holiday period. But of course, it's not just all doom and gloom. I think that there are a lot of exciting parts about the holiday season, and there's a lot to look forward to. The jingle bells are back. There's a lot to look forward to more than any other year that I can remember previously. So on that note, Cara, are you ready to play a game?
Oh, what is the game, James?
What is the game? I haven't even told you about this. I think I want your top five hints of what it means to be a single mom, or a mom on Christmas, and what your hints are for, or tips for others around to help them out over the holiday period.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to twist your question. I'm going to turn it into, was it five you wanted?
I want five.
All right, top five things to do when my kids are driving me crazy.
Yes, love it.
Okay, so, and cheap and cheerful.
Introducing Cara Montaneri's top five things to do, cheap, cheerful, crazy kids, Christmas holidays edition.
Why, thank you, James. I've had a long time to think about this. Now, the first thing that I like to do if my kids are driving me crazy, some of these are weather dependent, is footpath chalk. Now, this is something that's come, like, we used to do this a little bit, but in COVID, I'm one of those people that, like, writes really, like, annoyingly positive messages on my footpath out the front of my house, which I have had some very lovely feedback on, by the way, from the neighbors. But that's a really, really good way. You can pick up really cheap buckets of chalk from, you know, if you've got like a $2 shop nearby, bargain store nearby, cost you a couple of dollars, you get a massive tub of chalk. And it's awesome. Kids can go outside and play that. So that's number one. Number two, if it's a hot day, this is a staple regular in our house, hose on the trampoline.
You love the hose on the trampoline.
They don't get to do it a lot. And I do use like a water saver sprinkler thing. So, you know, it's not too bad, but I don't waste too much water. But hose on the trampoline, kids love it. Little bit of eco-friendly washing detergent on there, and it's a bubble fest on the trampoline. Good one for a hot day.
Love it. Number three.
A movie day at home.
Love a home movie day. There's nothing better. So I don't think that's just for having kids as well. That could go for anybody with their partners or even by themselves.
Yeah, I just like to say that all of these things are kind of very adult friendly. Like put a sprinkler on the trampoline, it's the best. Movie day at home. So you've got to like draw all the curtains. If it's a hot day, you know, put the fan on and make some popcorn on the stove and find a movie, especially school holidays. There's like movies on free-to-air TV, so it doesn't even have to cost anything at all. So yeah, that's something that we really like to do.
Finally, number five.
No, you can't count, but we'll just do four because I can't think of five. But my fourth/fifth one is baking. So over the holiday period, guaranteed, if like I've got a whinging kid, if I offer up like, hey, why don't we bake some biscuits and take them to the neighbors, they will absolutely be down for that. Doesn't really cost anything except for what I've got in the cupboard. Or, and even if you don't have anything in the cupboard, give them like four rando ingredients and tell them to bake something out of it.
I love those tips. I think I want to come to your house over the holiday season. It's absolutely great. I think I've got, as the initial question was, your kind of five top tips for the holiday season.
Yeah.
Mine are a little bit different. Obviously, not having kids, I am looking after myself and my partner and going.
And you're just really relaxed and like doing all the things you want.
Sometimes, but mine's more about my own mental and physical health. I think I need to worry about, because I have a tendency to overconsume over Christmas, mostly food. Yeah. But I think that what I've written down for myself this year, firstly, is to eat with your stomach. So if you're full, you're full, not your eyes, not just what you say. I know there's everything there in front of you, but it's not worth feeling a little bit sick later because you've overconsumed food. Second one, we've talked about this a lot over today, is be conscious about your alcohol intake. Mm. I think that's something that I'm going to work on a lot this year because I will be going from one place to another on Christmas Day. So I just want to make sure that I'm watching what I'm drinking at both places and not overdoing it this year. 3 is I want to run still. I still want to run. I still want to walk over. I want to bring those things that I learned in the first and second lockdown to the holiday period. Mm. And even though I'm away, even though I'm on holidays, technically, I still want to keep moving. I still want to keep walking. I still want to do those things that I was doing so well throughout the first lockdown, especially. 4 and 5, I think.
Number seven.
You learned to count, James, counting, didn't you? Number 4 and 5 are kind of, I reckon, mixed. I reckon I want to get some support and stress less. So I think I want to continue the support services that I've opened up. If that's speaking to friends about how I'm doing and as well talking to them about how they're doing, which does help me stress less at the end of the day. I don't want to run around like a headless chicken, getting everything ready on the last day on Christmas Day and shopping for presents. I want to stress less, doing everything online this year, purchasing things, they can get delivered. I've done it in heaps of time. I don't want to stress about the holiday season. I want to make the most of this holiday season. And that is about making the most of my family and making the most of my friends and speaking to them and hearing how they are and also getting to talk to them about how I've been. Because when you're open and honest with people, they're usually open and honest with you. And that's the best way to help support yourself.
I really think that 2020 has hopefully shown us that it's the connections, it's the people, and it's the vibe. But no, it's really that's the stuff that's really important, and hopefully that will filter through everyone celebrating across the holiday season and getting together and just really appreciating each other and really appreciating being able to do that safely and staying healthy and being able to do that. So
great point, Cara. Now lastly, my last question, because this trivia round is not over. You talked about watching movies with your family. So I want to know, what is your favorite holiday movie?
Right. If you were to ask my partner this, they would say that Die Hard is the best Christmas movie ever made. However,
good point.
However, I will... can I have two? Can I please have two?
You can have two.
They're both very cliched.
Yes.
Okay. So Love Actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. And I did actually see a meme this morning that said that no matter how much time passes, that we're still not over the fact that Alan Rickman bought the office tart a gold necklace and screwed over Emma Thompson. And every time I watch the movie.
That's all you can think.
So I watched that on Christmas Eve. And the other one that we watch, it's a back-to-back double on Christmas Eve, is Home Alone.
Oh, yes, love it.
Yeah, we watched that. Home Alone reminds me of my dad, who's no longer with us, and he used to sit and giggle at it even the 75th time he'd watched it.
Amazing. Amazing memories and amazing movie.
I love it. And James.
Well, I think I was a real toss-up between Home Alone and The Grinch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
Jim Carrey's The Grinch?
Oh, yes, Jim Carrey's The Grinch.
How good. Yeah.
The original. And I think that I went with The Grinch only because I watched Home Alone last. I only watched it a few weeks ago, so I was like, oh, no, I haven't seen that, and I think I want to watch that. So that is the one that I'm choosing as my favorite. On that note, I think, Cara, that is our 6th episode, our final episode of the series, done and dusted. I mean, even over the last 6 weeks of recording these, life has changed so dramatically. Mm. And I mean, it was always ever going to be a 6-part series, but I'm hoping that we won't need to come back, because I'm hoping that what we've learned over the last year will go into our future lives, and we will make sure that we're taking care of our mental health and well-being and our physical health and well-being as well over the coming years. And also, I hope we all have successful and loving holiday seasons too.
Absolutely. And I mean, apart from the millions of people that are going to be demanding that we come back for a season 2, because they just love the sound of our voices so much. Apart from that, I agree that, yeah, this has really been a great way to keep serving our community and to keep people connected. And hopefully having a laugh and learning a few things along the way. And finally, just want to shout out, thank you to Vic Health for supporting us in this little journey. They're great supporters of Pride Cup. And we really are excited that Pride Cup is back up and running to our full capacity now, taking signups for 2021 to run our signature Pride Cup events and getting out into sports clubs across the country. And, you know, especially in all corners of Victoria to do the work that we do to keep the LGBTIQ+ community participating in sport.
Yeah, and if you're a club who hasn't yet run a Pride Cup, head onto our website, look at the photos, read our handbook about what we do, because it really makes a huge difference in the lives of LGBTI people to watch these games from afar or from the crowd for sometimes the first time ever, or for our LGBTI athletes to come and play in these games as well. Let's help change the lives of LGBTI athletes and LGBTI young people one game at a time. I hope this year we can, or 2021, sorry, we can break all of our former goals and we get the most games we've ever run over a calendar year. And I really want to once again thank everybody who joined us for the series, those who listened in and those who were our guests. We learned so much from you and it meant so much to have you on air with us.
Hopefully we see all of our listeners at a Pride Cup in 2021. So thanks very much, everyone, and we'll see you around. Bye.
We're waving.
Bye.